We're going to turn, please, to Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus 13, and we're going to read from the verse 1. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look on him the 7th day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the 7th day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad on the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. And the verses that follow describe various scenarios of someone is brought to the priest, and the priest must decide before the Lord if this person has leprosy or not. And in verse 45, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. And then we'll go to the end of the chapter, verse 59. This is the law of the plague of leprosy, in a garment of woolen or linen, either in the warp or woof, or anything of skins, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious truth. Over the last few weeks, as we've come to this a section in the book of Leviticus dealing with what is clean and unclean, we have been seeing that sin has spoiled God's great creation. And so in chapter 11, we have mention made of the clean and the unclean animals. But remember how in creation, all of the animals were said to be very good. And it was sin then that had marred God's good creation. In chapter 12 that we saw last time, the purification of women following childbirth, again we see that sin has spoiled creation. And so multiplying was good in God's creation. But sadly now there is a sinful association, in that as the child is born, the child is born in sin. And as I mentioned, the painful effects of childbirth are the result of the fall. When we come to chapter 13, again, we see that sin has spoiled creation. For we are reading of the body suffering from illness, suffering from disease. And as we think of man in his pristine, unfallen state, he was perfectly healthy. There was no disease prior to the fall, but it's the fall that has brought sickness and suffering, and in particular, what is set forth in this chapter as leprosy. And so in this chapter, we read of the diagnosis and the isolation of leprosy. And though the leprosy here, the word is translated leprosy throughout the chapter because it is the same Hebrew word, there are various skin diseases that are in view in this chapter. We then, in the latter part of the chapter, come to read about clothing, mold or mildew in clothing, and God willing, we'll talk about that more another time. And then in chapter 14, there's also detail about mold in the house, which is described as leprosy in the house. Chapter 14 then deals with cleansing in relation to these various matters. So cleansing from leprosy, cleansing of fabric, cleansing of the home. And as I've said then, the leprosy, while the word is used continuously through the chapter and in chapter 14, it's not leprosy in the strict, narrow sense of today, of what we refer to as Hansen's disease, but it was a disfiguring disease. The particular disease that's in view here primarily may even be one that's not really in existence today. But it is common with leprosy today in the sense that it has a disfiguring effect to the body and to the skin. It causes the skin to be scaly and flaky. And the issue really at hand here is that the skin would deteriorate. So the person that had leprosy, he was suffering from this problem with his skin. And that was a problem of decay, a problem of corruption. And in that way, leprosy stands to us as a picture of sin, as we'll see in a moment or two. Now, the focus of the chapter is not about the medical needs of someone with leprosy, but the focus of the chapter has to do with the ceremonial issue that someone with leprosy was considered to be unclean. And so the priest did this vital work to discern if someone was unclean, so that if they did have leprosy, that it would be pronounced to be so. And so the chapter then, at least the first three quarters of the chapter, have all to do with this declaration of leprosy. And we'll think for a few moments, first of all, then about the details of this declaration of leprosy. The priest was central to all of this. So it wasn't a doctor that was called to give this particular diagnosis, or it wasn't a doctor that would confirm cleansing, healing. This was the work of the priest. And God willing, in the future time, we'll come and talk about the cleansing. Remember the Lord in his ministry, our Lord Jesus, he sent the lepers to the priest. And this was really in relation to these chapters in Leviticus chapter 14, that if someone was healed from leprosy, it had to be declared so by the priest. So there was an examination of the skin to determine if it really was leprosy or not. And in the early part of the chapter, we were reading there of how this examination would involve looking for swellings, looking at rashes, spots on the skin. And then it goes on to talk about boils, burns, changes in the scalp. And it was always trying to discern, was this skin problem that the person had, was it this leprosy? If it was, then they would have to be pronounced unclean. In verse 13, it says, "Then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy hath covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean." Now, when it says there, "it is all turned white," it's not meaning that he is turned white with leprosy. In fact, it's saying the opposite, that he had leprosy, but it is gone. His skin has been restored. He is clean. And so the white there has this idea of having been
cleansed, and he therefore is pronounced now as clean. He doesn't have leprosy. And so there were essential signs then that the priest was looking for. The leprosy was deeper than the skin. Leprosy turned the hair white in the leprous spot, and evidently the idea there was that there had been death, decay. The leprosy was expanding, and so there was a period where if the priest wasn't sure if this person had leprosy or not, they would go into isolation for 7 days, and possibly another 7 days after that, because the priest was looking to see, is this expanding? And that would be one of the signs of leprosy. And then another sign was the issue of raw flesh. And so if the priest could not discern as soon as he met the person if it was leprosy or not, there would be this period of isolation or quarantine. We're familiar with those terms over these last months. And so the person, it would be locked away, separated from the sick people. That's the way quarantine should be. He, as a sick person, was separated from the healthy people. But the priest was putting this person away to make sure that when he would make his statement that it was correct. And so there would come this great declaration then, whether the person was clean or unclean. If they were unclean, they had to be removed from the camp. And so they would be separated from the people, they would be put out of the camp, and there would for that person then be long-term isolation. As I mentioned a moment or two ago, leprosy is a picture of sin. Now that is not to say that everyone that had leprosy in the Old Testament had it, or in the New Testament. It's not to say that they had it because of their own personal sin. But rather the disease is a reminder to us of sin. It's a picture of sin. And it's a picture of the need of the gospel, that the sinner is in need of cleansing. And so one of the utmost details about leprosy in Scripture is that it is called uncleanness. It was said to defile, and that obviously is linked in with the whole idea of it being contagious. But it's spoken of as uncleanness, and therefore if someone was healed of leprosy, the word healing is not actually used in the Bible of leprosy, but they were said to be cleansed. So it's uncleanness. Then leprosy has an outward manifestation of an inward problem. An outward manifestation of an inward problem. In verse 9, it says, when the plague of leprosy is in a man, is in a man. And so the leprosy, while it's manifest externally, it is much deeper. And this reminds us of the outward manifestation of our sin. Why do we do sinful things? It's because of the sinful heart. Remember how the Lord said in Matthew 15:19, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And so we have these outward problems because of the inward aspect of sin. In that sense, leprosy reminds us of sin. And leprosy also grows, it develops. It may begin just with a little spot, but it increases and increases. And in time, the whole body is affected. And it reminds us of sin, that it grows and grows. And remember, in James 1:15, it says, Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And for the leper in the Old Testament, unless the Lord intervened and delivered that person from his leprosy, there was no known cure. The leprosy would end in death. And it does remind us again that it's only the Lord that can intervene to save.
from the awful leprosy of sin. If the Lord does not intervene and save, the awful disease of sin will bring eternal death. And so we have some of these details then of this declaration of leprosy. We'll look for a moment or two then at gospel pictures in the declaration of leprosy. And on account of the chapter 13 bringing the problem, what we have then set forth is the sinner's need of the gospel. The next chapter deals with the provision in the gospel. So we learn that uncleanness is not compatible with worship. And so in verse 46, it speaks of the one that is declared to be unclean. He is removed from the camp. He will dwell alone. And obviously this had many implications. But the chief implication was that they could no longer come to the house of worship. And this leprosy then had a separating aspect to it. It had a separating aspect to it. And so it reminds us then of what happened in the Garden of Eden. That as Adam and Eve sinned, they were put out of the garden, as I've referred to it before. They were put out of the sanctuary of God. And so then, when someone had leprosy, they were put out, and they could not come until there had been cleansing. And so then, the sinner today is not able to worship the Lord aright. It's only those that are regenerate, only those that have been cleansed, that are enabled to worship the Lord. And so the unregenerate man may have some form of worship, but it's not true biblical worship because he's cut off from God. And it will only be as a peace is made between him and God that he is enabled to worship aright. And of course, this brings us then not only to worship here on earth, but worship in heaven. No uncleanness will be permitted. No uncleanness will be permitted. There'll be no admission of that leprosy of sin into heaven. And so the leper being put outside the camp, in a sense, it was a living death for him. And isn't that like hell? He has, in a sense, a mere existence. It's not true life with a capital L. He has existence, but it's an awful existence. The sinner ought to grieve that he is cut off from God. And we have that beautifully set forth in verse 45. The leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent. And here is an image of great grief. And remember, the rending of clothes was especially seen in Bible times in relation to death and loss. And so here the person is deeply moved over this diagnosis, this declaration, and his clothing then is rent. His head is bare. And so there's no covering up the reality. He has leprosy. But then it also speaks of how there's a covering upon his upper lip. And some feel that this was a covering to prevent contagion, like a mask. So we'll not get into that controversy. But the person had this cover over their mouth as they would leave the camp. But surely there is also a lesson here, spiritually, that the sinner is to be brought to that place where he is silent before God. His mouth is covered. In Romans 5:19, every mouth is stopped. So then we see that this uncleanness, it must be dealt with. But then we see, secondly, the ugliness of sin must be dealt with. Leprosy, it was not attractive to look at. And surely as leprosy is a picture of sin,
Doesn't it bring to your attention this idea of loathsomeness? The psalmist said in Psalm 38, verse 7, "For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. There's no soundness in my flesh." And the sinner is to be brought to that place where, again, like the opening words of the book of Isaiah, that he says, "I am affected by this disease from the top of my head to the sole of my foot. There's no soundness in my body." And there's this awful loathsomeness. But that ugliness, it must be dealt with. It must be removed. And then thirdly, only God's judgment counts on the day of judgment. The person with leprosy could presume that he did not have it. He could argue with his family all day that he didn't have it. But when the words of the priest were spoken, "Unclean," those words stood. And the priest then, in his position as God's representative, he had, as it were, the final word. As he said, "Unclean," that person could not be received back into the place of worship until the priest would declare the person now cleansed. And doesn't this remind us that the sinner today may presume he has no sin? He may seek to convince people around him that he is without fault. And he presumes then that all is well. But he fails to consider this matter, that what is vital is what the Lord says. And if in the day of judgment our Lord Jesus says, "Unclean," then that sinner will indeed be put outside the camp. They will be separated from God's mercy forever. Now, John 5:22, it says that the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And so here, as this matter of judgment in relation to leprosy was committed to the priests, so the Father has given all judgment over to the Son. And what a great blessing we have as God's people this evening, that our high priest has done a work to redeem us from judgment. He has done a work whereby we are declared as cleansed. And so there is over us a great declaration that the Son of God declares over us, clean, cleansed. The old defilement is removed. We'll come then and look at some practical lessons in the declaration of leprosy. And we learn here, surely, that the body is not unimportant. The physical body is not a matter of indifference. Now, the soul is, of course, to be our great priority. But that does not mean that we don't care about the body, that we have no concern about suffering and sickness. And as we have this chapter then dealing with the whole matter of a problem in the human body, surely we are being taught here that the body is not a matter of indifference. And again, the Bible teaches that in so many different places. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 8, it says, "Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." And so Paul is teaching there that it is the matter of the soul that is supremely important. And so godliness is profitable unto all things, but bodily exercise profiteth little, or bodily exercise profiteth a little. There's a little benefit in it. And so the body is not a matter of unimportance. And leading on from that, then, the body should be cared for. And surely we see here in this chapter that God is interested in the health of individuals. God is interested in the
the fact that someone would be permitted to return to their home and to their family again in a state of health. And so the Bible does show that Christians should have an interest in seeing restoration to health and looking after the body. If you could turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And the verse 18. And flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit dwells there, and therefore care is to be taken off what the Lord has purchased. We are to care for the body. And here in the context, Paul is dealing with the matter of fornication. And so we're not to sin against the body in fornication, but nor are we to destroy it in some other way. The body is to be cared for. And then, thirdly and finally, we await a new body. We await a new body. As we think of those that were pronounced as lepers in Leviticus chapter 13, they had a body in which they suffered greatly. They had a body that was disfigured, that was corrupting. And for them, there had to be then that great longing that one day they would be delivered from that. And doesn't it remind us of ourselves as we suffer physically, some more than others, that we await a new body, a body in which there shall be no suffering, no pain, no sickness, no death. And just as we are reminded then in Leviticus 13, sin has damaged the human body. So then we look to that great glorious resurrection day when there shall be raised from the dust a glorious new body made like unto her Lord, not subject to death, not subject to decay. And how we long then for that day when from the dust there will be brought forth that which is perfect. And may the Lord bless these thoughts this evening to all of our hearts. Amen.